Turn, if you will, now to Ezra chapter 7, found on page 498 of your pew Bibles. Ezra chapter 7, beginning with verse 1 through verse 10. Now, after this, in the reign of Artaxerxes, king of Persia, Ezra, the son of Sarai, son of Azariah, son of Hilkiah, son of Shalom, son of Zadok, son of Ahitub, son of Amariah, son of Azariah, son of Marioth, son of Zerahiah, son of Uzzi, son of Bukai, son of Abishua, son of Phinehas, son of Eleazar, son of Aaron, the chief priest. This Ezra went up from Babylonia. He was a scribe skilled in the law of Moses that the Lord, the God of Israel, had given. And the king granted him all that he asked, for the hand of the Lord his God was on him. And there went up also to Jerusalem, in the seventh year of Artaxerxes the king, some of the people of Israel, and some of the priests and Levites, the singers and gatekeepers and the temple servants. And Ezra came to Jerusalem in the fifth month, which was in the seventh year of the king. For on the first day of the first month, he began to go up from Babylonia. And on the first day of the fifth month, he came to Jerusalem. For the good hand of his God was on him. For Ezra had set his heart to study the law of the Lord, and to do it, and to teach his statutes and rules in Israel. Well, it is now in chapter 7 that we finally come upon Ezra in the book that bears his name. Ezra, through all these years, has remained in Babylonia. And a lot of years have passed by at this time. It is now 57 years after that temple had been dedicated. The second temple, not Solomon's, the second temple, 57 years had passed, almost 70 years since the first exiles had left under the edict of Cyrus to return to Jerusalem and undertake the rebuilding of the temple. And yet it's at this point that we find that Ezra is preparing to go. So Ezra is here introduced to us. And it's interesting, as we think of some of the key figures in the book of Ezra thus far, we have met Zerubbabel, that one who served as the ruler or king over these returned exiles. We were introduced to Jeshua, that one who served as high priest. And now we are being acquainted with one who might be said to fulfill that third office that we often attribute to Christ, that of the prophet or the lawgiver. And that one is Ezra, one who is here noted as being one who was skilled in the law of Moses, one well acquainted with the law of God. This Ezra, this one who has remained behind, perhaps you would scratch your head and say, why wouldn't Ezra have himself picked up and gone earlier with the people of God? Well, there is every possibility that Ezra wasn't alive then, 70 years earlier, when the first of the exiles had returned, that he would have been young when that temple had been completed. You may say, well, why did any of those who were of the family of the priests and Levites, gatekeepers and singers, remain behind when they knew that the temple had been rebuilt and that right worship to God was being undertaken now once again in Jerusalem? Well, many scholars speculate that not everyone was able to make that long journey back from Persia, from Babylon to Jerusalem. And so some families were split up. Those who were needed went ahead and were used to rebuild that temple. Others remained behind that they might continue to care for those who were old and infirm. But it's also known that there were places of worship established within Babylon. And so it is that some would have stayed behind, feeling it important to maintain that witness even there. And perhaps that was one of the reasons why Ezra had remained behind all these years. And earlier on, we read of the dedication of that first temple, where we were reminded of Solomon's prayer, that he had prayed that if God's people sinned and were carried away, that God would incline his ear to them when they would acknowledge their sin and cry out to him, and that he would be pleased to reestablish them in the land that he had promised to their forefathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And clearly, through this book of Ezra, we have seen God's answer to the prayer of Solomon. Those who once had sat beside the river in Babylon and wept and could find no reason to sing had been delivered by that one whom they had sinned against, that one whom they had at one time forgotten and had traded in the things of God for the things of the world, and thus had suffered the shame of their defeat and being carried off and being held captive over all of those decades. And yet, throughout the book of Ezra, we have seen again and again the might of God's hand as he has worked upon the hearts of these foreign dignitaries, inclining them to do his will, first with Cyrus, and later here we see in the reign of Artaxerxes, God works and God delivers his people once again, inclining the heart of this great king of Persia to allow Ezra to go forth. Ezra has become aware that though the temple has been rebuilt and has been functioning to some degree over these last 57 years, not all is as it should be. There is a need for reform within the land of God's people. There is a need for teaching to happen. We know that God had been pleased to supply his people with those prophets, Haggai and Zechariah. Haggai had a furious 4 months of ministry that has been preserved for us within the Word. Zechariah, a bit longer. And yet there is still need for one to go and to be the prophet, to be the lawgiver before the people of God. Many scholars reckon that Ezra was one of the most able scribes in the history of the Old Testament people. His knowledge of the Word of God having no equal, except perhaps for Solomon. And so here Ezra is introduced to us as that one whom God would lay upon his heart a desire to go and to labor in that land which God had given to his people. We read in verse 6, Ezra went up from Babylonia. He was a scribe skilled in the law of Moses that the Lord, the God of Israel, had given. And the king granted him all that he asked, for the hand of the Lord was on him. Whereas God's hand was evidenced as powerful in the life of Pharaoh, hardening his heart, here in the time of the Persian Empire, we see God's hand working in a different fashion, to cause those powerful rulers of nations at that time without equal to do his will, to provide assistance to his people, to enable them to accomplish those things for which God had called them to do. And so we find ourselves 57 years later with Ezra sensing this call of God to go and to labor amongst his people. And so Ezra goes forth, and we'll be looking a bit more at this in the coming 2 weeks, to assemble a body to go with him back to Jerusalem. The second group of exiles would be a fraction of the size of that first group, that 42,000 that left Babylon and went back to Jerusalem. This group would number only about 6,000 individuals. And it would be comprised of not only Ezra, but the other elders, the heads of the families, 12 families to be precise, that were still in Babylon, as well as priests and Levites, singers, gatekeepers, and temple servants. These all would go back with Ezra. And this was undertaken in that first month. This was a difficult time to travel, for it would have put them in a very hard season to travel across the desert back to the land of Jerusalem, to the land of Judah. And yet, Ezra goes. I mentioned that he is here put forth as one likened to a prophet, a proclaimer of the law of God. You see, over these subsequent 57 years, we see within God's people what we saw often repeated in the time of the judges, that God's people have seasons that they shine brightly, and then seasons where they don't shine so brightly. Seasons where they recall the goodness of God, his promises, and they gravitate to that one who is all-powerful. But then over time, life begins to crowd out those commitments, and they begin to participate with and become indistinguishable from those around them. And throughout the book of Ezra, we have been reminded of the pressures being exerted by their neighbors, those who occupied the land, the province across the river, those who settled in that land, who had been transplants themselves from foreign nations, who brought with them their foreign pagan practices, their false gods, their idols, and who throughout the history of God's people would show themselves again and again a great tempter for the people of God. How easy it would have been for God, the one who had already shown an abundance of love, care, and concern, who had already exercised his might over even the highest offices of the predominant empire of the day, have finally said, "It's too much. This stiff-necked people, my patience will not endure forever with them." But we get a glimpse into the love of God, and his faithfulness once again is on display, even when his people are ignorant and unfaithful. God provides to them a remedy. He provides to them a preacher, one who would come with the law of God, one who would bring the word of God and would proclaim the whole counsel of God, that the people might not remain in their ignorance, but that they might grow in their knowledge of him, that they might return to that one who had proven himself their deliverer generation after generation, that they might walk in accord with His word. We see here that Ezra set his heart to study the law. But this wasn't a mere academic. This wasn't one who merely loved the art of study, who liked to be holed up in the halls and towers of academia for the enjoyment and the engagement of his mind alone. No. This is one who rightly studies the Word of God. And in the study of the Word of God, one way that we know that it is being studied rightly is that it doesn't maintain its only expression within the mind, but within the exercise of every duty of this life. The study of God's law would not be a collection of facts, something that would make us skilled in Bible trivia, but rather that the study of God's word would shape our lives, our thinking, and our speech. And that's what we see in this one whom God raises up in Ezra. Look down, if you will, to verse 10. Ezra had set his heart to study the law of the Lord and to do it. This was the delight of Ezra's heart. This was the joy of his life. Not only to engage in the study of God's law that he might know him better, but that he might be able to serve him in a fashion that God would be pleased. That God would be pleased to mold and shape his life such that he would walk rightly in that way that is right, according to that law he knows to be good. And this is what you want to find in those who would lead. Not merely that they love the study, but that they love God, and they love walking in accord with His law. That they're not satisfied in their sin, but that they are diligent in seeking to root it out, to know God better, such that they would not be content in those sins, but that He would be pleased to root out that sin, that they might walk obediently. But what else is ignited within the heart of this servant of God? He has a love for his fellow man. He has a love for his brothers and sisters in Christ, that they too might grow in their knowledge of God, that they too might walk according to his ways. You see, the yearning of Ezra's heart is no different than that of Solomon's. His desire is that when the people of God would sin, and they would sin, just as God's people today continue to sin, that they would not remain in their sin, but that they would cry out to Him for forgiveness. That they would look to Him for guidance. That they would not trust in their own abilities or their own strength, but rather they would seek Him. And they would lean upon Him. And they would take their lead from Him to do all that He has commanded. We see the love of God demonstrated within our passage this evening. His people needed instruction. They needed a teacher. And God was pleased to supply them with an able expositor of His word, a willing servant, one who loved the law of God and who loved the sheep. And we're going to look next week as we turn to the latter part of this at all that this would entail. I mentioned that the land of Judah was in need of reform, not just individually, but the law of God was needed to be brought to bear upon all areas of society. From those who would lead in civil government to those who would judge, all needed to hear and know and be familiar with the law of God. The task God has given to Ezra is a big one. And through the remainder of our study of Ezra, we're going to see it was a necessary one. For the sins had grown very great already in so short a time after their return, after their deliverance from captivity. And so come back next week as we'll be looking at the latter half of chapter 7. And Ezra begins his duties amongst God's people. Let's look to him in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, how quick we are to forget, or Lord, to lose focus upon that which is most important. Lord, we pray that you would train our eyes upon Christ, that you would ignite within us a hunger for your law, that we might, Lord, understand the benefit of your commands as they would guide us in all areas of faith and life. Lord, that we would not place the desires of this world over the things of Christ. And Lord, we thank you for the great lengths that you have gone throughout the history of your church to send to your people those who would teach and preach. Lord, make us diligent students of your word. Lord, that we would not content ourselves merely a couple times a week to be within your word, but Lord, that we would diligently attend to the study of your word and the meditation upon your word day by day. Lord, that we would be keenly aware of our needs and the greatness of our need, that we might appreciate even more the blessings of your word to guide us and see us through these things, to correct our paths, and to make our footing sure upon that rock of Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you that you are patient with us. Lord, where there is sin, cause us to repent, to seek your forgiveness, to turn away from those sins that are familiar and comfortable, and to seek your face, and to walk in a fashion that would be glorifying to you. Lord, may your Spirit guide and direct us in this study. Give us understanding. For we pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.